outside of Aleppo. We've just moved north of the city where we can get some reception and also some internet connection. There's been nothing at all for the past 5 days, so we're about 15 kilometres north of Aleppo towards the Turkish border.
And what have you seen in Aleppo?
It's a city of where the grinding misery just seems to pile on. The artillery barrage, the airstrikes, especially in the southwest of the city, are particularly intense. So is the fighting there. We did see yesterday, for the first time in this 18-month conflict that I've seen it, a number of foreign jihadis had arrived in Aleppo at the front lines. They were standing nearby ready to enter. They were very well armed. They didn't want to know us. The only questions that we got in replies to greetings to them were, "Are you Muslims?" And so they were heading deep into the front lines. They were being, I guess, nervously welcomed by the Syrian rebels there, who knew the fact that they are brave and determined fighters, but they also propose a potential problem in this dynamic, in that they are looking to run their own race. They are really receptive to Syrian rebel leadership, and this is something that will play out in the next week or so. How will the foreign jihadi contribution change the dynamic of the frontline fighting in Aleppo?
What do they look like? Do they have long beards, for instance? Are there any clues as to whether they've come from Saudi Arabia or any other place?
They were open with the rebels about where they'd come from. They were from everywhere. There were Pakistanis, there were Saudis, there were guys from Senegal, there were Uzbekistans, Chechens, an Algerian that we saw as well, dressed in, I guess, what you would say would be the standard battle attire for Salafist jihadists, sort of black robes, turbans, vests to carry rounds of ammunition around their chest, bearded most of them. And a very, very Islamic, I guess, cohort. We've seen this sort of cohort before in Iraq. We've seen it elsewhere in the Middle East as well. But this is the first time I've seen them openly appear at the front lines in the fighting in Syria.
And when you say the word Salafist, for those who don't know the meaning of the word, it's very much about fundamentalist Islam?
Very much so. I guess it's harking back to the... It's a very pure theocratic interpretation of the teachings of Muhammad way back in the 7th century. They espouse a very rigid sort of thinking. They have a definition of jihad which extends to, I guess, anything which is perceived to be anti-Islamic. And for them, that's most things, any other religions, for starters. It's very much a thinking which has dominated the global jihadi worldview, I guess, and that thinking has been prominent in the Middle East since 9/11 and in Afghanistan as well.
Well, to what degree do the FSA, the Free Syrian Army, the opposition forces need the reinforcement?
Yeah, that's an interesting issue, and they were debating that yesterday afternoon at length. They were saying, look, help is not coming from the West. We cannot defeat these jets. The jets are very much an issue for them. They can hide from the artillery and from the tanks on the lower floors of buildings in Salah Eddin and in other areas that they occupy. But the Syrian Air Force is dropping very heavy ordnance on them now. We're talking 500-pound bombs quite regularly. They are saying that if we cannot find ways to reinforce our front lines or find people to go there and engage in building-to-building clashes with the regime forces and or bring in expertise to bring down these jets, then we are not going to prevail in Aleppo. So they are saying that help is not coming from the West. We will accept help wherever it does come from. We do understand the risk that these groups pose, but if they remain under our leadership, we should be able to control them. And that's a risky calculation, but it's one that's being made, as I say, in today, yesterday, in the coming days.
Have the foreigners brought anti-aircraft guns or shoulder-launched ground-to-air missiles or anything like that which would help to battle against the Syrian Air Force?
They haven't, but the Qataris and the Saudis have introduced around 20 surface-to-air missile shoulder-launched types, as you say, into the Syrian arena. The problem is they've gone towards Idlib rather than gone towards Aleppo. And yesterday we went to see the rebel leaders in Aleppo who absolutely insisted that they do not have these ground-to-air shoulder launch missiles. And if they did, they didn't know how to use them. So they're blazing away with 50 caliber heavy weapons from the ground, and they aren't able to hit any of these planes that fly overhead. And they are looking for expertise to get these things out of the skies because they pose a significant menace. I mean, everywhere we go, we're hearing the roar of jets above us, and their targeting can be off too. They're quite often targeting police stations or other government buildings in which the FSA are hiding. But they usually miss, and the toll that these bombs are taking on the civilian population, certainly civilian homes, is becoming quite extraordinary.
Are there many families and children still in Aleppo?
In the east of the city, it's largely empty. It's an eerie, foreboding, almost menacing place. We can drive around the east without much problem, but all shops are shuttered. All homes are pretty much closed. We don't see many people on the streets at all. It is the third day of the Eid festival to mark the end of Ramadan today, and that may account for, I guess, some of the people being off the streets, but there's certainly no festival. There's certainly no celebratory mood in the east of the city. As we get around to the main front line, just near the suburb of Salah Uddin in the southwest, people are fleeing. Most people have already gone, but in the adjoining suburbs, there's now an exodus, and we see scores, if not hundreds, of families walking away from their homes, carrying small plastic bags that contain their belongings, and they're looking to get to Turkey or get to the hinterland of Aleppo or anywhere they can just to get away from this fighting.
This is clearly a very important battle for both sides. The Syrian government really needs it in order to re-establish dominance. Can you see which way it's likely to go?
I think that there are two factors which are going to stop the rebels from prevailing, certainly at this point. The first is the jets that we've already discussed. They are taking a very, very heavy toll on their front lines, on rebel morale as well. But the second is, though, the residents of Aleppo are still not with the opposition, and it's difficult to see how the opposition could win their hearts and minds given the misery that city is now going through. They haven't been with the rebels since they first moved into Aleppo just over 3 weeks ago now, and nothing's happened to change their minds. The civic services have ground to a halt. Festering piles of rubbish team up on the streets. There's a pervasive stench across the city. The new suburbs are now being whittled down by regime shelling. And more importantly, there is no end in sight. This is sort of a grinding stalemate in some ways. The regime is inching forward in others, but they're yet to commit their infantry to the battle. They're sitting back and shelling from afar. And this is just piling on the misery for the citizens of this city. And without winning them, it's very difficult to see how the rebels could actually prevail unless they get some large numbers of reinforcements or if they get a no-fly zone. And neither is likely to happen in the short term.
So is it fair to say then that the rebels really can't win in Aleppo under those circumstances, and the Syrian government can, but it's going to take a very long time and a lot of bloodshed?
Yes, Mike, I think that's right. I think that is right. It is difficult to see, as I say, how the rebels could possibly turn this around unless there were mass defections. They seem to be their main hope in this, that if the Syrian army does eventually commit its troops to the battle, and they are there, they're on the sidelines, but they're not advancing, that these troops would walk into the city, shed their uniforms, and or desert or defect. There is a very real possibility of that happening. As in the front lines, there are defections every day. We were there yesterday morning, and three defectors had made their way out, and they were just being received and welcomed by the opposition side. And every defector that does come on through was saying that just over the next building where the regime forces are, that morale is very low, and many of them do want to leave if they enter the city. So this is what the rebel military is holding out for, that even when the government loses patience and pushes into the city, then large numbers of regime soldiers will join them and provide that elusive tipping point that they've been looking for the last 18 months of this uprising.